Hebrews chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to preach tonight. It seems like for the past little while I've been preaching on direction. I've been preaching on trying to find God's will for your life. Tonight I'm going to preach on discernment and what discernment means and how to have discernment. And talking about spiritual discernment. And so the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, look in verse 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Now I'm going to say again what you've heard me say many times. It's okay to be a babe when you're a babe. Amen? It's okay to be a babe when you're a babe. But you know, there comes a place and time that we are to mature and grow. And the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter over there, chapter 2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised." Now here's the word to discern both good and evil. Now take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I will begin to read in verse 12 here also. And the Bible says, "And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You can be seated tonight, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day that you've given us. We thank you for the singing tonight. Thank you for the shed blood and the cross of Calvary and what it means to us tonight. But Lord, as we stand to preach, we ask first of all and that for strength from on high. Lord, we certainly need a touch from you tonight, an unction from the Holy One. And certainly just need your help in that to be able to preach this message. Lord, I want it to be plain and clear tonight. Lord, just so folk can have a great understanding of spiritual discernment tonight for their life. And Lord, we just pray that if there's one here that's lost, and Lord, we pray that you'd save them, bring them to a place of repentance, and Lord, let them see their need, but then act upon that need and come and get saved tonight. Give them some discernment between life and death and heaven and hell tonight, God, that they might move and see the difference. And Lord, we won't take in it. We love you. Help us preach tonight. We know it won't return void. Bless these folks sitting here this evening, Lord, and that by the word of God. And we'll give you the glory for it all for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. Now, as I've said, I'm going to preach on discernment tonight. And the word discern simply means to separate by the eye or by understanding. It means to distinguish or see the difference between two or more things. Now look up here for just a second. When you know it, shout it out. It'll be okay. What color's that? Blue, ain't it? What color's that? All right. We know the difference, don't we? So we have what? What have we done? We've discerned between the difference. Now let's do this. What color is this? See, I've got teal and turquoise. Well, let me ask you a question. What color's this?
Turquoise.
I've got teal and turquoise and turquoise and teal. But see, everybody knew what blue and green was, but not everybody was willing to say that this was teal or turquoise or in between. I call it blue-green. You know, I told my wife, we got to go get some blue-green paper. She said, that's teal. I said, did not know that. Listen tonight. Sometimes, as I preach, I want you to understand something. Sometimes finding the Lord's will for your life and discerning spiritual matters is as simple as this. Sometimes it's like this. And it's a little hard to figure out tonight. And so I may refer to this a little bit after a while. But to discern, I mean, we discern between colors and sounds. We discern between smells. I mean, the Lord even got on to them over there, got on to the Pharisees. He told them, he said, when it is evening, you say it shall be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it is foul weather today, for the sky is red and roaring. And he said, oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky. And we think that we can, can't we? And you know, to be honest with you, when we look outside, if it's clouding up, there's a good chance that we'll say, it's going to rain. Ain't that right? I mean, if the sun is shining out there, it's not going to rain. But he told me, he said, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you not discern the signs of the times. And so what they didn't understand, I believe it's either in the book of Mark or Luke, I find the same thing again. And he told them, you don't discern such the time as you are now, or the time that it is now. They didn't realize that he was the Christ. They couldn't discern the very fact that he was the Christ. But we come to spiritual discernment, and a lot of us have physical discernment. I mean, we knew what color these were, and we see things by our eye, and we try to make a difference, and we hear things. I mean, you can tell, most of you can tell when that thing's being played good and not being played good. So you know, I mean, you can tell a difference about that. But when it comes to spiritual discernment, to distinguish or know the difference between some things, listen, we need some help and that from God. Now, let me say tonight, real quickly, by way of introduction, that lost people, I need God to open their eyes on some things. I preached on this just for a minute this morning. The Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God should shine unto them. And listen, you didn't get saved until God gave you spiritual discernment between life and death. You didn't get saved until God opened your eyes and showed you that you needed to get saved. Listen, it's like when that blind man got his eyes open. Listen, there was something different about him. And until God opens your eyes tonight, you're not going to know. And listen, a lot of times we want folk to get saved. We beg God to save them. We want them to get saved. And I believe God wants them to get saved. But you know, until God moves in their heart, they're not going to get saved. Until God, comes and speaks to them. And you say, well, maybe God has, and maybe he has, and they're just refusing him. But God's got to enlighten the mind and the heart of those that are lost before they can ever get saved. Amen. They've got to come to a condition of being lost. And let me say this, that there comes a place and times in our life that we need spiritual discernment. We need to be able to decide. We need to be able to spiritually decide. We're going to look at this about things and about situations and about times in our life. Now, as I studied this, I thought about the Shunammite woman over there in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. And if you remember, Elisha and his servant would pass by her way, and she would constrain him to come in and eat with her and her husband. And the Bible said, and so it was, that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. But she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. How did she do that? How did she perceive that? That was with spiritual discernment. She was to be able to decide between an unholy man and a holy man that was coming through. Book of Nehemiah chapter 6, as he's building the wall, Sanballat, I believe it's Tobiah, and that sends a man in that dream. I says, come down and meet with me in the chambers in the temple. They're going to come at the night time and kill you. And here's what he said. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. That was spiritual discernment. He perceived that. He understood that. And I think that sometimes we miss the mark. We miss the idea of God. We miss what he wants out of our life because we're missing spiritual discernment out of the Word of God. I think for you to get the direction of your life right is important. And I'm getting ahead of myself. And I think for you to get, let's just deal with that. Number one, first of all tonight, you need discernment in direction. I mean, whatever God is trying to do, you do believe that God wants control of your life tonight, don't you? You do believe that we ought to give and add and submit ourselves. I mean, from the time that we get saved, we have submitted our life to Christ. We have gave Him ourselves and give Him our soul. But then all of a sudden, we want to have control of our life. I don't think it's really up to us about the direction of our life tonight. I think it's up to the Lord tonight. I think for direction in our life and decisions that we have to make, whether it is finding a mate or whether it is finding a job and trying to serve God, whether it's as these kids are growing up, some are going to college and some are going to tech school and some are going to work. I think God needs to be involved in all that. I think it's so important. I think God needs to be in every position and in every direction of your life. Now, I'm not a Calvinist or a hyper-Calvinist, but listen, I think you do need to talk about the Lord or talk to the Lord about what you're going to do and the direction that you need to go on some things. I think it's important. I think if you're looking for another job, if you're looking for a job, listen, I think you need to talk to the Lord about it. I mean, listen, the way, you know, the truck that I have, and I've always said God has a sense of humor because I always love Chevrolet trucks. I love the way they look. I love the way they ride. I mean, Chevrolet's got a real good front end on it. And they've always had a good front end. They've always rode good and steered good. And when I began to pray about what truck I needed to trade for, the Lord presented me with a Ford. I said, He's got to have a sense of humor. He's got to. I mean, I would have rather had a Chevrolet, but you know what? I'm running 245,000 miles. I bought it with 93,000 on it in 07 and still driving it in 2020 with 245,000 miles on it. And to be honest with you, I'm not thinking about trading it today. I mean, I would still get in that thing and go anywhere in the United States. It might let me down by the time we got to the interstate. I don't know. But listen, I've thought about this years and years and years. If I would have went and bought something else, because you got to understand, I prayed about that. I did. I prayed about that, and I said, Lord, present me with a truck. If you want me to trade, present me with a truck. Now you say, really, preacher, do you think God got? I believe God got involved. You may not think so, but I believe that He did. And listen, that was just a little comical thing about trying to find direction, but I think we need to get God involved in all those things. I mean, I think you need to teach your children that when they go to look for a job, to try to find a job that's not going to take them away from God and take them away from church. If you're letting your teenagers work, then listen, that is the most important time or one of the most important times that they need to learn to draw close to God, and they certainly don't need to be taken away and that from God. And I know, man, my wife was talking about that on the way home today, that, you know, if you're going to work when you're a teenager, it's either retail or fast food and everything in between. It seems like you have to work Sundays and all these things. But listen, I believe that if we'd pray and seek God and get honest and get sincere, I'd say, God, I want to go to church. I want to serve You. I believe God can make a way, friend. You must think God's awful big, preacher. I think He is tonight. Do you know that I have to consider in discernment and spiritual discernment? Am I doing okay? Okay. Just making sure tonight. Listen, you know, I have to spiritually discern what I'm going to preach every Sunday and every Wednesday. That for lack of better words, that can be fun sometimes. It can be stressful and it can be trying to figure out what I'm going to do. But you know what I have to do? I just kind of have to wait on God and see what He wants to do sometimes. But direction, we need direction in our life. Is that not what King Solomon wanted? When the Lord asked him over, he said, come to him in a dream at night and said, what do you want? He said, what do you want, King Solomon? And you know what he answered back with? He said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? He wanted discernment. He said, Lord, just give me the ability. You put me in this position. Give me the ability to discern between what's right and what's wrong. And the ability to discern between and judge the right and the wrong for the people. And you know what? God gave him wisdom. By the way, that's what he had to have to do it. Was wisdom. God gave him wisdom to do it. And then on top of that, He gave him riches and honor and glory that was beyond anything that Israel had ever seen.
Queen of Sheba come riding into town over there, and she come up just to see the wind, to hear the wisdom, and to see the kingdom of Solomon. And the Queen of Sheba said, "The half has not even been told Solomon." But all he wanted was discernment. He just wanted some wisdom to be able to make good and right decisions. In direction for our life. Maybe it is on the job. Maybe it is to make a decision about... I know some of you have worked jobs, and sometimes you get offered jobs and presented jobs, and you have the ability to bid off the job that you have now and make better money and just make sure that it ain't going to take you away from God. Get some spiritual discernment. You know, it wouldn't hurt you to pray about that thing and say, "Lord..." You know, it's like one preacher, he was pastoring a little church, and he told them they wanted him to come and pastor this big church. And so he told the men at the big church, he said, "I'll have to go home and pray about that." And so he goes home and he tells his wife, he said, "You start packing while I start praying." Y'all will catch on to that just here in a minute. There wasn't a whole lot of spiritual discernment there, was there? You know, sometimes we look at what would make us more money or how we could get... And listen, if God's okay with you doing that, that's fine tonight. But listen, I just don't want outside influences and that to make your decision in trying to decide in this life things that might draw you away from Christ. Am I making sense tonight? I feel like I'm stuttering around up here. King Solomon just wanted to make good and right decisions. That's what he wanted. He wanted spiritual discernment to be able to do that. And by the way, it is called spiritual discernment. If you go over here, especially in the book of First Corinthians, chapter 2, he says they're spiritually discerned. You know, to have spiritual discernment, you got to be a spiritual person, don't you? You can't expect an unspiritual person to make spiritual decisions. So now that brings us up to what makes spirituality. What makes you spiritual? A lot of people think that it's crying or that it's shouting, and they'll say, "Boy, we had a good spiritual service today." Well, we had a good service. I wouldn't necessarily call it spiritual all the time. I know what they're saying. I've made that same statement, and I'll probably use that same statement again. But if you go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23, that'll tell you what makes somebody spiritual. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You know, those are the fruits of the Spirit, ain't they? That's what makes us spiritual tonight. But in making decisions, I stand up here and I preach like it's easy. But you know, sometimes it gets a little hard, don't it? So you knew what these were. But sometimes life is kind of like this here. And it's not as easy. And I know the Lord wants us to know His will. And I believe that He wants us to know His will. And I'm talking about direction, having discernment in direction. Take your Bible and go to the book of Exodus chapter 32. Can I ask you tonight, have you ever just stood in a place to where either you didn't know what to do or you thought something and you missed it? Now, I'm not asking you to tell me. You know, we got in that stuff this morning. Boy, Zach, bless his heart. He had a deer in the look face this morning, I'm telling you. Exodus chapter 32. Look in verse 17. Now, what's going on right here? The children of Israel has forsook the Lord. Moses has been up on the mount receiving the law. Aaron has molded a golden calf. I mean, they are down there in that party and having a big time. And the Bible said in verse 17, "And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery," in other words, fighting, "neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing, do I hear." Now, Moses had a little upper hand on Joshua. God had him up there on the mount, and God told Moses what they were doing down there. I mean, he gave him some instruction, and he told him exactly what was going on. I mean, if you go back and look, and I forget exactly how God worded it to Moses. Let's see here. In verse 7, he says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." Now, I love God right here. Now, what did God say? What do you mean? He said, "Thy people that thou broughtest." That's not Moses talking to God. That's God talking to Moses. He said, "Moses, your people, the ones that you brought out of the land of Egypt, they're over there and they have corrupted themselves." God was a little upset with the nation of Israel. What are you talking about? Look at Joshua, though. What did Joshua say? Are you picking on? No, I'm just telling you. What did Joshua say? Joshua said, "There is a noise of war in the camp." He missed it, didn't he? It wasn't the noise of war that he heard. It was the noise of them that get up to sing. They were having a big time down there. Sometimes it's a little tough to figure out some things. I mean, it's not all the time. I'm not saying that God plays hide and go seek with His will. I'm not saying that He wants to make it tough on us and that He wants to make it hard on us. That's not it. But I'm just going to tell you, and I'm talking about from experience, sometimes it's hard to figure out some things. The book of Ezra, chapter 3. You remember when, listen, the children of Israel's been down in the land of Babylon for 70 years. And King Cyrus makes a decree and sends some of them back. And Ezra goes back and he lays the foundation of the temple. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of them that was the weeping of the people. You got some weeping, you've got some shouting for joy, and they could not discern between them. Life gets that way sometimes, don't it? I'm talking about finding discernment for direction. So what do we do? Well, one, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12, King Jehoshaphat looks up to heaven and tells the Lord, says, you know, when all them people's coming against him, and he said, "Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." The book of Jeremiah said, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." I believe we can get discernment. I believe we can get direction. I believe that we can know what God wants out of our life and know. Let me ask you something. How many of us has ever been like Gideon? You know what I'm talking about? He put the fleece out. How many of us have been there? Now, God had already told him what he wanted, but Gideon wanted to make sure that's what God wanted. How many of us have been there? And you know what? After God answered Gideon's prayer, after God answered Gideon, I mean, what was it? He made the fleece dry and the ground wet one time. And the next time, you know, Gideon comes to him, the Lord, and said, "Lord, don't be angry with me, but I'm going to ask you this time, make the fleece wet and the ground dry." Or vice versa, you know. And the Bible said that he wrung the water out of the fleece, you know, while the ground was dry. Do you know that there's nothing wrong with asking God to say, "Now, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, and I'm going to go in the direction you want me to go, but I just want to make sure this is what you want." But you know what I've learned? When we find out what God wants, He's not going to keep telling us over and over and over again. He's not going to keep proving Himself over and over and over again. Once He proves it, once we have been assured of it, you know what He expects? He expects us to do it. If Gideon would have kept saying, "Now, Lord, do this and do this and do this and do this and do this," you know, eventually God would have got tired of that, wouldn't He? I mean, He's proved Himself. He told Gideon to go. He said, "I want you to go down." And even the third time, He said, "Gideon, if you're still unsure, go down there and listen to what they have to say. Go down there to the enemy." It gets a little shady in trying to get discouraged or to get discernment sometimes. But God can enlighten us and God can help us. Sometimes we come back to what we talked about in the text scripture. The strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There are times that you're going to take what you know about this book, and I'm not telling you nothing I ain't never told you before. You're going to take what you know about this book, and you're going to do what you know to do. The heaven ain't going to light up. It's not going to be like God's going to show you some kind of new thing. He's just going to expect you to know. That used to bother me. I tell you, the devil, he'll use just the craziest things against you if you ain't careful. And it bothered me why God would, what he saw in me to call me to preach. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you go down that rabbit hole, you're going to get in trouble. And it bothered me for a little while until God just finally showed me over there. It wasn't anything in you. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't me. It was all about him. See, he likes to take people that you know, we think more of ourselves than we really should sometimes, or most of the time. And finally, he just, you know, the Lord kindly just enlightened, give me some discernment on some things. It's not about you. You know, and I wondered, and I asked the Lord, and I even talked to him about this, and man, he was quick to respond or to give me some discernment on some things. You know, I got saved at 14. I started preaching when I was 15 years old, almost 16 years old, and I said, Lord, what did you see in me at that time? And he saw somebody, and here's what I got back from heaven. You may not agree with it, but it helped me. One, he saw somebody that really didn't know a whole lot, so he could take somebody and train them. You know, it's when we don't know a whole lot that he can take us and train us. I'm not saying that he can't take somebody that knows a whole lot and use them, but if you go over and you look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's not the wise that he calls. It's not the learned that he calls. And that way no flesh can glory in his presence. But he said, you know, but you've grew. And that bothered me for a little while, you know, that it took me a while to grow. It's like the Lord, he just took me over to our 1 Peter chapter 2 and said, but you had to get in the book. You had to get in the book and begin to learn and grow. So we come back to Hebrews chapter 5, and I'm not telling you that I'm spiritually perfect by no means. I'm far from it. And every one of them can say amen right there. But you know, there comes a place and a time where we should have grown, because he said, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age. He tells them here in the book of Hebrews, he said, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need one that teach you again. The writer was dealing with some people that were spiritually immature. You should have grown by now. You should have some spiritual discernment. You should have some spiritualness about you, but you do not. You ever seen people that's been in church 20, 30, 40 years and they're still babes in Christ? They need to go back to the primer class in Sunday school? And that's what he's telling them right here. He said all this stuff is spiritually discerned. We can get direction from the Lord if we so desire. We need discernment. We need discernment. We need discernment in direction. We need discernment in our life to help us to make good and right decisions. We're going to get that out of this book. We come back to what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now he's not talking about carnal things and spiritual things. He said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Carnal things and spiritual things won't line up. If you try to take something out of the world and try to force something spiritual upon it, it won't work. It just won't work. And so he said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Can I tell you tonight, to get direction out of the Word of God, we've got to be saved. You've got to be saved. And then to get the deeper things of God out of it, you've got to be spiritually discerned. You have to be able to spiritually discern things. But you know, the more we read this, the more spiritual discernment we can have.
because the more we grow in it. Are we okay? Okay. Hope I'm making sense to you tonight. I don't want to confuse you no worse than what you already are or what I already am. But we need discernment for direction in our life. We need discernment for doctrine, to know what's right and good doctrine. Right? Doctrine means that which is taught. You need discernment with that, right? I mean, just because somebody says it's in the Bible, you better go make sure it is. You need discernment with that, to know what's right and know what's wrong. And just because somebody uses Scripture to prove prove what they believe, let's look at the text in the context. Church of Christ will back you up in a corner out of Acts 2 and 38, where he said, repent and be baptized for the remissions of sins. Well, now, preacher, that means you just repent and then you're saved and then you go get... That ain't what he says. That ain't what it says at all. It says repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, as Baptists, we try to split them hires and make it fit into a little box that we've created to make it easy on us. But listen, you've got Peter over there preaching to a bunch of Jews in Acts chapter 2. So to be spiritually discerned then in doctrine, then you have to know who he's talking to at the time that he's talking to. Right? Right. You can't take the promises of Israel and apply them and that to the church and vice versa. It won't work. You have to be spiritually discerned in those things. Number three. But listen, then people really need, and I've already talked on this a little bit, need spiritual discernment about death. What folk need tonight is for God to open their eyes and show them that they're lost and that they're going to die. I mean, Jesus said over there in John 14 and 6, folk need to understand that they're dying. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. They need to understand. They need to understand that there is a difference between life and death. I mean, Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, he's the only way. No man comes unto the Father but by me. They need to discern that. And the only way they can discern that is if God enlightens them and opens their eyes. You know, the only way you can get saved tonight if you're lost, listen, is when you see the fact that you're lost and you need to get saved, and God speaks to your heart and draws. Jesus said in 1 John chapter 5, he said, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. There is a difference between life and death. David said there in the book of 1 Samuel at one point, he said, there's one step between me, one step between me and death. Just fall off and die. You need some discernment on that. Can I tell you, the child of God needs discernment on that? I mean, there's just one step between us and death. We act like we're going to live forever. And we are eternally going to live forever. But I'm talking about here. We act like we're going to live forever here. What we need is for God to enlighten the eyes of those that are lost tonight. To open the eyes of them, to open their heart so that they can have some spiritual discernment. I'll never forget, there was an older lady that we used to go to church with, Miss Stella. And I remember she was the first one that I can ever remember saying, making this statement. She would talk about praying for the lost and witnessing to the lost. And I'll never forget, she would say, oh, we need to let them know that there's a heaven to gain and hell to shun. There's a difference. Even lost people need spiritual discernment tonight to realize that they're lost and dying. And Jesus Christ can save them tonight if they would come to him. Can I tell you tonight, if you're lost, boy, I hope God gives you some spiritual discernment tonight to let you see that you need to get saved. Open your eyes. Listen, tonight, if you need direction in anything, the Lord Jesus Christ can help you. Let's bow our heads tonight across the house. I don't know you need tonight. I don't know you need, but if you need some help tonight, whether it's in direction, the discernment, that you know, the ability of seeing more than one thing, it's really simply just asking the Lord, what do you want me to do right here?
Lord, I'm standing at a fork in the road. It might be, Lord, I've done went down the wrong road, and I realize now that I'm down the wrong road. What do I do? But more than anything, maybe tonight God has showed you that you're lost and you've never been saved. He has enlightened your eyes. He has showed you that you need to come. Would you come tonight? While people are praying, heads are bowed and folk are praying, listen, you can come and pray tonight and ask Jesus to save you. I don't know the direction that you need. I'm telling you, there's one in heaven that can help you tonight. There's a book in front of us that we can read and gain spiritual discernment out of. What do you need tonight? He can help you.